this morning, so on my heart, maybe it's a better phrase. So I ask your indulgence. I know people have other responsibilities besides here, but it may take a little longer than customary this morning. And I ask your indulgence and also your prayers and the courtesy of your attention for a while. I wish to speak. Oh, I think about song number 300 in our hymnal. Songwriter says, I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years. Song was written by old brother Anonymous. Nobody knows. But it couldn't have been a young man. It's got too much experience of life in it. I feel a little bit that way this morning. I wish, not knowing, as any of us do, how many more opportunities I will have to be in a place like this. I wish to speak from the platform of the years of experience and life that I've had, pass on some of the lessons to younger folks, things that are serious and things to be remembered that can affect so much our course through life. And if I be tedious, I ask you please to give a little extra effort to penetrate to what I'm trying in my crude and awkward way to say. I'd like to read from the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. The title of the book of Ecclesiastes is The Preacher. Ecclesia means the church, and it means the law. Solomon was unusually blessed with wisdom and understanding into human ways and into the ways of life. He would have been a first-rate scientist, and also into the things of God. Maybe he didn't penetrate there as much as some of the New Testament authors did, but he certainly had surpassing understanding of the things of God more than I do. His words are often intended to guide people how to lead wise lives. Save yourself as much trouble as you can going through life. That's a lot his main purpose. This is a very familiar passage of scriptures, and I'll just read through it quickly. A wise man said, Ecclesiastes 3:1 beginning, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And then he speaks of the profit of all of these things and goes on to do some philosophizing about it. But I'd like to deal, first of all, with these times that Solomon has set forth. It's an easy scripture to misunderstand, like so many are. First of all, originally this was a song. It doesn't rhyme in our English language, but it did in the Chaldee or the Hebrew in which it was written. So people sang it to one another. It was a very old saying. Things of truth don't die with time. The second point I'd like to make about it is that Solomon is thinking about the cosmos. There's a magazine that's popular now. It's Cosmopolitan. You may see it somewhere in the grocery stores up in the rack. And it's a It's kind of a glamour magazine. Hasn't interested me much, but the name of it has, because it comes from the word cosmos. And that means, for a very simple definition, that means the bad world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's cosmos. Cosmios is a very similar Greek word, and it's also used in the Bible. And it refers to the world, but it refers to the ordered universe. Life would not be possible on the earth if we weren't the distance we are from the sun, or if the earth didn't rotate as it does, or if the intensity of the sun's rays were different from the way that they are. And not only that, but the moon controls the ocean tides and seasons. God set the seasons in His world, the timing of things, the order of things, beyond human control. But God ordained them. And the infinite wisdom of God in His plan of ordaining the time and order of things in His cosmos is beyond our ability to comprehend. I look at the seasons that are changing now. It's only been a little while ago that we had to have heavy equipment to move the snow out of our driveway. What have we done to change that? Absolutely nothing. And yet, it's so different now. All of us wore overcoats when we came back in the first day after the snowstorm, but we don't need them this morning. God has a change, a season, an order to His life, and all things natural comprehend that. The trees. I've been looking at the trees. The trees actually put their buds on in the fall, but in the spring they begin to swell and open up. And grass, gradually changing color. The animals know that the seasons are changing. I've been noticing more skunks run over on the road. I started seeing that while we still had some snow down. But they know. How do they know? God made a time and He put it in them somehow. And you and I live best when we fit in God's order and His plan. Did you know that really is the basis for our Bible doctrine concerning modest apparel? Because immodesty, or modesty is a word with two definitions. One means inappropriate and one means shameful. Those things that are gaudy and garish and so forth conflict with the order that God settled in His universe. And we'll spend very much time there. But humans were intended to fit in the order, in the time of the way God made things. So that's what Solomon is talking about, and he's trying to lay some of that out. And the next point I'd like to make from this passage of Scripture concerning the timing of things is that this is not a set of moral commandments. This is talking about the way things happen in God's world. It's not talking about the way saints should live. For instance, he says there's a time to hate. And he's not saying by that God's people, saved and sanctified, ought to have hatred in their hearts. What he's saying is that when the seasons of time change, God has a way of stirring up populations of the world against one another. And they go to war with one another and they hate one another. And then when he says so, those things subside. There has been a time not so very long ago when most of America would have been very, very glad to see a tsunami like there was a few days ago strike the coast of Japan. Their attitude would have been that just saved us the trouble of doing it. It was a time of hate. And there wasn't anything that righteous people could do to stop the torrent of hate. Humans did this, but God had allowed that in His wisdom. This is still His world, folks. And He governs in world wars. And He governs in local communities and in the affairs of people. And that's what He's telling us here, that these are the changing seasons that go along through life. So let's look at it again. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. The Lord put it a little differently. Seek and ye shall find, He said. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it will be opened unto you. We think of that concerning spiritual things, and it is true. But it's also true to a large degree concerning temporal things and wicked things. If people set themselves to get money, most everybody will have some chance in their lifetime to take advantage if they choose to do that. If people set themselves to invent things, they'll have opportunities. If you persist in knocking, after a while, things have a way of opening up. In other words, there is a time or a season to every purpose, a good purpose or an evil purpose. If you set your heart to be a lustful person, sooner or later, there will come a chance for you to exercise that lust. Every purpose that humans can conceive, just because an avenue opened for something to happen didn't mean that God wanted you to do it. He set in His world, maybe I could put it this way, a broad range of opportunity for people to do whatever they wanted to do to prove what was in the heart of man, to give choice for you and I to turn toward Him. For you see, God has an order to His world, but of all His creation, He chose you and I alone to cooperate with Him in participating in this order. We have the privilege to govern our lives according to the order, or to conflict against it to a degree if we choose to do so. The best way I know to describe that, don't get bored with me yet. Best way I know to describe that is Adam in the Garden of Eden. He created nothing. But God created the animals and brought them by Adam to name them. See what He called them. He was interested in what Adam thought. Adam did not make a rhinoceros. God made it, and He brought it by Adam to see what He called it. And I can imagine Adam laughing when he saw that thing with a long skinny neck and the brown and white spots on him. So, Lord, that's a giraffe. What else could it be? And look at this. This is an earthworm. He's crawling on the earth, and he looks kind of creepy. This we call, he named them. He cooperated in this very minor way. God still wants you and me to cooperate with His cosmos, the order that He has in His world. And we're very wise if we do so. Now, this first lesson is, there is a time to every purpose. If you have a purpose to be interested in things of your soul, to improve yourself, God will make a time for that. If you have a purpose to walk away from it, all the preachers that have ever been in the history of the world can't keep you from doing it. You have your opportunity to turn your back on it. Whatever it is you want to fill your soul with, you have a chance to do it. The scripture also said concerning those kind of things, the outward man perisheth, but the inner man is renewed day by day. And that is true concerning spiritual things, and it's also true concerning wicked things. I have seen people down in the very last end of life who spent their lives working after money and still just as interested in it as if they were going to live forever. The outward man is perishing, and people look at him and say how foolish it is. Hoard it all up and never could enjoy it. And now it's of no real benefit to you. Live like a poor man. And all he's thinking about is how to get some more, and he couldn't have more than 2 or 3 years left. The outward man's perishing, but the inward man, it renews. Be careful what you put in your inward man, because it'll renew, whatever it is. So there is a purpose, a seed time to every purpose in the heaven, a time to be born. Our world's lost sight of that today, and people don't even like to hear it anymore. But it's true. A child born out of due season is at a big disadvantage in life. And the Lord wanted human beings to cooperate with Him as individuals and as congregations and as a culture in preserving, could I say, the sanctity of marriage. One man, one wife, one life. God wanted it to be that way. It's very clear in the teaching of the Scripture. People are turning that upside down today. Taking little children and putting them in homes of people who are of the same gender. And the law will stand behind it. Violating the commandment of the Scripture. It does something to those families. It's outside the order, the cosmos. There is a time to be born. I don't want to say very much more there, although there's so much that perhaps should be said. But I want to apply that also in a spiritual sense. Folks, you will learn going through life. If you live for the Lord, you will learn There's a time when you feel His call very strongly. And there's a time when He will wait to see if you will move on the persuasion of the call that He gave you. If He kept the call constant all the time, it would take away some of your choice. But when He calls you and it's strong and it's real and you know it and you make a move toward it, give it a week, give it a month. That feeling's liable to die down some. The Lord didn't die down. He didn't want our purpose to Him to die down. He wants us to serve Him through the good times and the bad. When we feel like it and when we don't. This is not a fair weather salvation. It's for all times, for all places. Everywhere we go in life, this is to be lived. In the rain and in the sun, in the snow and in the heat. It's a constant salvation. There is a time to be born. And you will find this as well. If you turn and you walk another way. There is a time when the Spirit of the Lord calls to you strongly. And you feel like at that time that is near. And the choice is close. And I can make it when I want to. But it's not that way. You'll find if you walk away from the Lord that there comes a point where you can barely hear that voice anymore. You pass the time to be born. And He may in His mercy bring back another time when it's very near. And He may not. The time, how often have seen it. The Lord sent the series, a salvation message. Somebody under heavy conviction feel like ought to make a move. Hesitate, tremble on the edge with the idea, I'm just not quite ready now. There's a few more things that I need to get in position. You can't make God come according to your timetable. When He deals, it's a time when we must respond. Because when you start getting those things in order, the call can die down and go away. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. We don't like to think about that, but it's true. One of the things we all have to learn about life is that people die. And there is a time of physical dying. I've looked death in the face a few times. Never with pleasure. You know, I love life. I love life. I enjoy the life that I have. I'm very thankful for the strength and the opportunities and the body the Lord has given me. And I don't look forward to laying it down. But I have seen people come to the place that they're ready. They're so tired. And I know that's there. This life has gone on long enough. We grieve more over a life that is out of due season than we do one that has fulfilled its days. There is such a thing as a life cut half in two. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. And in all of this, there's a providential planning that's beyond our understanding. Now think of it like this. Highs and lows. Isn't that life? Step outside at this moment. And just open your eyes and you can see. You can see almost to the horizon. Who knows how far away those trees are. But just give us 12 hours and do that same thing. And you won't be able to see out here to this fence line. Because the world turns and changes. And all of our lives are just like that too. And the amazing thing is that it's like a sine wave. While my life's going up, yours may be going down. And somebody else's may have spikes in it that are like that. And you look at that and think, what a lofty peak. And someone else, or perhaps the same person at another time, you stand at the chasm of the place where this poor soul is suffering and think, I don't know how any human being could live through that. That's all part of the human experience in this world. And in the vast complexity of each of our individual lives, God governs and weaves and rules in the whole affair in the ways that He sees fit. And just as surely as there's daylight, in a little while there will be darkness. And just as surely as the darkness comes, in a little while there will be daylight again. That's what this passage of Scripture is teaching. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose, a time to be born and a time to die. And those things will come. And none of us, for that matter, know when our physical time to die may come, but we are well. We are well to remember that it is there and be always prepared. I mind one young man who, though he wasn't very old, early 20s, I guess, maybe not even quite that old, was involved in a terrible motorcycle accident and lost his life. I will never forget the message that the old brother brought when he had to preach his funeral. He said, "It is appointed unto man once to die." And he said, "Jimmy met his appointment. You and I have got an appointment out there somewhere. There's a time for it. And we like to think it's 80, 85 years or so, but nobody knows. We need to live so that if our appointment came before this day was over, we'd be ready to meet the Lord. Because just as we have our observation of the changes that take place in the human body, so God has got a time set on every one of our lives. And it may not be that any of us have the full number of years to live out. And I dare say, the likelihood is that some of us here this morning will not fulfill a full 80 years of life or so, 70, maybe, as the scripture promised. There is a time to be born and a time to die. All of us are wise to remember that. There is a time to plant. There is a time. The time of planting is coming now. It's the spring. Springs vary. Some springs are rainy. Some springs are cold. Some springs are beautiful. When I was on the farm, the farmers used to say, every farmer loses his crop 7 times before he makes it. And they were talking about too much drought. They were talking about insect damage. They were talking about hailstorms or tornadoes or too much rain. I've seen fields flooded and farmers scratching their heads in frustration because they wanted to get in and plant the crops and can't do so because there is this period of time to plant. And after that's over, there's no use planting corn anymore. It won't make. When I was a boy in Iowa, they used to say, if the corn's knee-high by the 4th of July, it'll make. If it's not, you're not going to get much harvest out of it. You know what that's comparing to? Young people's lives. You've got a time to plant. It doesn't last forever. I know, because I'm into reaping years now. It's too late for me to plant a lot of things. Most of what I get out of life now is reaping. I can tell you from my own experience a little of what that is. I had the privilege of growing up on a farm. I feel sorry for these boys who spend their time in front of computer games and don't develop their muscles. Because there is a time during those teenage years, you either develop them or you never have them, of stamina. And to go through life with a soft, weak body, what a handicap that is. And I had the chance, and I worked on the farm with my father, and all of us boys did at that time, and it made a difference. And I look at the young fellows today and I feel sorry for them that haven't had that same training and opportunity. So many of them don't know how to work. You need to plant those seeds when you're young. It's not talking just about salvation. It's talking about living life. You're going to reap from it. I remember when I was graduating from high school, I had 3 buddies. And they said, "Let's go." So we've got a room rented. It was very hard to get a room in the town where they wanted to go. Stillwater, Oklahoma. They said, "We're all going to school," and said, "You're eligible for different age." Said, "There's room for 4 of us. Why don't you go to school with us?" And they were good boys. We were good friends. And I look back on it now, and I think how different my life would have been if I'd have gotten some more education. But there's a time for it. And when that's gone, it's hard to go back and do it again. Every young person needs to learn how to do something. And it won't always be easy to do it. I don't say that a college degree education is for everyone. Please don't misunderstand me about that. But my point is that it's important during the opportunities of those years to plant. Because a time of reaping is coming and you can't plant then. Mostly you live on what you have learned, gained, benefit from in the planting years. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Makes me think of where we raised our vegetables on the farm, plant potatoes every year. They would make their vine look like a big bushy vine on top and so forth. But after a while, that would all die. And then we'd go out and pluck them up. And it was the potatoes underneath. There's a time of harvest. Oh, remember what the scripture said. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then he made it more specific to spiritual things. He that soweth to the flesh shall also of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There is a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. I mentioned Japan a moment ago. There was a time to kill for this nation concerning our military and the things that they did. People were killing each other all over the world. The times have changed. This same nation today is sending millions already of aid over to that country, trying to heal the hurt that they have. We're in the healing business, folks. There are a lot of ways we can apply this. The Lord gave us something to kill. It's ourselves. He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. He said, if your foot offends you, cut it off. We need to kill evil desires. We need to kill unrighteous passions. There's a time to heal. There's a time to heal physical things, and there's a time to heal emotional and spiritual things. God wants His church to be filled with nursing skills. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. I think I better pass over some of these, but they are so important. Lord, help us this morning. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. There are so many ways to apply this. I think of one of the hymns in our songbook that says, speaking of someone who'd been raised in a false religious belief, taught somehow things that are not scriptural, backed by spirits that are not sound. And the songwriter said, then I rose and left the ruin, taking not a Babel stone. There are things that people have built their lives on, teachings that are false. And they need to just throw it away. The best thing you could do is just say the whole thing was a mistake and turn your back on it and walk away. The apostle said, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And what he meant by that is the expression of Jesus Christ in us through His blood, delivering us from all sin and uncleanness, making us holy and pure and innocent. The scripture said, though we or an angel from heaven bring any other gospel unto you, let him be anathema, let him be accursed, count it an evil thing, no matter the signs, no matter the wonders, no matter how enthusiastic people may be about it. One wise man said, the united voices of the millions cannot lend the slightest basis to falsehood. If it was a corrupt stone, if it didn't lead to a holy life, it needs to be just cast aside. There's a time to look at something and say, it's gone. It's not right, and I'll never have it a part of my life anymore and never advocate it anymore. Cast it away from us. There is a time to gather stones together for building. And more of that in a moment. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's something comforting in a human touch. My father stayed with Brother Wall, Sister Vonda McMillan's father, during his final illness. My father did a lot of that sort of thing. And he'd be with him in the night hours, nobody awake but just Brother Wall and my dad. And Brother Wall's nerves would be on edge, and he'd be restless, and he couldn't go to sleep. And Dad said, I found a little place just below his ankle on the side of his foot, and he said I would rub that and caress it. And after a while, it'd soothe him down and start going to sleep. We humans are made so that we need each other. There are times when just somebody's arm across your shoulders means so much. That's part of what the Bible's talking about when it speaks of greeting the brethren with a holy kiss. It means not to withhold contact from one another. To get so remote, nothing can touch us. Oh, the world kind of scorns on a little bit today, but they can't change Bible values. We need one another, folks. We need to touch one another, and we need what kind word from one another. And we need contact with one another. We're social creatures. We need to love each other and share one another's lives. Embracing means a whole lot more than physically taking someone in your arms. It means touching their life. It means giving something of yourself to that person and receiving something back from that person to yourself. We enrich one another when we do that. Don't you know this gospel was intended to reach across every culture, every race, every background? It doesn't have in it anywhere a separation between young and old. Young people are to value the old people. Old people are to rejoice in the young people. The black and white and the oriental are to love one another, respect and appreciate and gain benefit from one another. This is a religion come down from God out of heaven that does not despise women or put them in a lower place, that values the beauty of women and the gentleness of women as well as the strength and the commitment that God gives to men, all in their place, embracing one another. There's a time to embrace, and there's a time to realize that something has come to a place that once I embraced very dearly and I can no more, because people change. People go other directions. And there is a commitment to something greater than just the embracing. We'll speak of that in a moment too. Oh Lord, help us today. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. My grandfather said, he advised my father, and my father advised me. If you live long enough, you'll see places in your life where it looks like there's nothing you could do to keep from being a millionaire. Money just seems to flow in. Just hold on. You'll see another place after a while where it looks like every dollar you got is going to get away from you in spite of everything you can do to hold on to it. That's the way life is. God fixed it that way. Scripture said in this same Ecclesiastes, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. But in the day of adversity, consider. God has set the one against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. The wealthiest men in this world, they still don't have it all. They still don't have it all. Money can't buy health. Money can't buy happiness. Every one of them have got heartache and sorrow in their life. And if you and I live long enough, we will have it too. In one way or another. That's the way life is. There is a time to get and a time to lose. So what do we do? In the time to get, be glad. Take advantage of it. Build yourself a nest egg if you can. In the time to lose, get real low before the Lord. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. He's got it in His hand. He wants us to work with Him in it. He can turn it when He will. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. I'll take out this one. A time to keep silence. One of the hardest things there is to deal with in life is a sense of having injustice. It wasn't right. It wasn't fair. It's harder to bear injustice against someone you love than it is against yourself. But there is a time when the best thing you can do is just keep your mouth shut. That is a hard thing for people to do. But folks, who can calculate all the damage that has been done in this world by loose tongues, by malicious words, by things spoken out of time? God wants people to know how to shut their mouth and keep it shut sometimes. And there's a time to speak. There's a time, sometimes at great peril, to stand up and to say, this is what I stand for and this is who I am. And I intend to live this way and die this way. There are both places described here in the Scriptures. A time to love, a time to hate. A time of war, a time of peace. Gathering stones together. I missed one of these. It's in the third verse. There's a time to break down and a time to build up. I want to talk about that some. I've worked in two McDonald's restaurants, run a jackhammer and things of that sort. The management told us, I have not confirmed it with any higher authorities in McDonald's restaurants, and I haven't paid attention since then, but the management told us in those two, every 5 years, every McDonald's restaurant is remodeled. Some of them seem to go on longer than that. I was surprised. What's the philosophy of that? They said, people get tired of the decor that we have in here. We found if we don't make our profit in a 5-year interval, after that, things are going to start going downhill, and we've got to do something to renovate it. Have you noticed what Walmart does? They'll move into a town and build a big, nice building, and it looks maybe bigger store than anybody else in town has got, in a town that doesn't have one. And to be there 5 years or 6 years, and then all of a sudden, the merchants that got in around them, we're going to have our little restaurant by Walmart, and this will be great. Walmart's people will come over here, and 5 or 6 years go by, and Walmart shuts that whole store down, and all those people with their little restaurants are left looking in a big empty parking lot, and Walmart goes 3 miles away and builds a whole other store. And this one will be a super center. Well, they're doing that because they have learned that they make more money doing it. That's the only reason. Walmart's all about money. That's why they do that. But it's true with everything. It's true with everything. We humans can get attached to something. I think of it this way in my own case. Though I've said it before, but it bears repeating. When my father died, my wife and I went out to Oregon. I got his tools and loaded them up and brought them back to my home. Set them up in a little building that I have. I couldn't bring myself to touch them. Last hands that handled those tools were my dad's. But dad's gone. That time is over. If he could come back, he would not say to me, don't touch my tools. It wouldn't be his wish. All that I can do is hurt myself by building a shrine out of them to my dad. Times change. This scripture said there's a time to mourn and a time to dance. It's today that I am living, not a month ago. There is a time of grief, and it is unbearable to forsake. But it's unwise to keep it forever. There's a time for buildings to change. There's a time for people to change. There's a time for people to look at themselves. Oh, how many times I've seen older folks make the mistake of thinking, I can keep going just like I am. There comes a time when every one of us, if we live long enough, need to take our car keys and hand them to somebody else. We're too old to do it anymore, and it takes a lot of courage to be willing to do it. But that's the seasons of life. There's a time to tear down, and there's a time to build. There's a time to think about what we can hand on, and something, a structure that lasts beyond us, and somebody else will be taking care of it. On into the future. What profit then, he said, hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I've seen the travail and so forth. And he said this, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. All right, it's been 30 minutes. You got enough patience to hold on a little bit longer? This is important. I want you to hear it. I've been watching it a lifetime now. And I wanted to see. Like old Solomon, I wanted to try it for myself. And measure myself against life. And I've found that love is beautiful. That home is beautiful. That children are beautiful. I have also found that there's a beauty in sorrow. And in grief, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. To see a family gather around somebody breathing their last with the tears running down their cheeks and see the love. Because love's what makes life worth living. To love is to grieve. If you love one day, you will grieve. That's the way life is. Roberta and I have loved each other for over 40 years, but our marriage is temporary. One day, in the natural order of things, one of us will go on alone. Everything is beautiful, he said, in its time. It's beautiful. The love. This is the stuff of life. That's why you need to be careful what you plant when you're young. Because you have this period of time. If I say the muscles, in the end, that's nothing. The character. The virtues that you build in yourself. Honesty. Integrity. Commitment to God. You're going to need them. All your life, there'll come a day when you reap. It comes to all of us if we live long enough. When you either have them or you don't. And you can't reap something that you didn't sow. It's not there. Everything is beautiful. And it's time. Could I say if the Lord goes with you? Because look how the rest of this reads. I know that. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. In all this changing world, folks, and you look back over your life and the lives of your friends and those you know, and haven't you seen that? Happiness and sorrow, up and down, health and illness, good relationships and bad relationships, on an individual level for the whole nation, a time of war and a time of peace, a time to hate and a time to kill. I don't like the times to kill. Well, I'm concerned about what's going on in our world now. My little tiny little micro place in it, there's nothing I can do about it. But I know that to make great wars, somebody has to preach hatred to people for a long time, instill it into children. And there are countries and probably religions in the world that are making a business out of doing that right now. And it's moving toward another climax because that's what comes. From those passions in people's hearts. And it makes me very uncomfortable. Don't like to see that. I'm not in the business of wanting to kill people. But these are the tides. And there is a God greater than you and I. Who governs all of those things. And he sets the bonds. The limits on them. Concerning what they can do. And what they can't. When I was over in Germany this last time. I was visiting with the folks over there about Hitler. And the things that his armies had done. And they said to me, we don't know what information he had about the Church of God congregations that were in Germany and in Austria and in Russia and in other parts of the world over there. But this we know, they had some kind of list on them because everywhere the Nazi army went, when they left, there was no Church of God congregation left behind them anywhere. They destroyed them. So they knew something about us. I don't like these kind of tides. They're dangerous to people, to life. And yet they're controlled in God's hands. In the face of all of this, folks, we need something that doesn't go up and down and doesn't change. I look at the wisdom. I have respect to educators, said so a moment ago. But I look at their wisdom and I see how the wisdom of 100 years ago gets discredited by what's being taught today. And if time goes on, this wisdom will change too, especially in the sciences of understanding people and so forth. But also in the origins of the world, it changes a lot as people come to understand things or think they did that they didn't before. We need something that's greater than that. I know that, he said, whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it. He said, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth things that are past. The greatest thing the Lord has done in this world is sending His Son to build His church. And in the face of all of this up and down, whatever else you get in life, folks, remember for all these things, God will bring you into judgment one day. Remember that in all the up and down, He set something that's constant. That which hath been the standard of God's church in the days of Peter and the day of Pentecost, that is that which is now. And that which is to be the standard of God's church on out into the future, it's already been. And God requireth things that are past. He's greater than all of these things. His salvation, here's what that means to me. His salvation is just as real to you and me today as it was to James and John and any of those old brethren. The same Lord that stood by our spiritual ancestors through the dark ages and sustained them, taught them holiness, He'll still walk with you and me today. I don't know what all the future holds before us, cloning and other investigations into the human mind. I don't know what all God will allow to come in His world. But I know His church can stand on the rock of His blood all the way to the end of time. There is a power that is greater than all the powers that there are in this world. I tried a little bit. My uncle walked out of my aunt's house in the dark and didn't realize she had a swimming pool back there, and he walked right off in the swimming pool. And he said, I tried to get out before the hole closed up, but I couldn't make it. I'm following one who got on top of the water and walked across it. How do you do that? Because there's another world. And the laws of that world are greater than the laws of this world, folks. And this all goes up and down. And it gets hard sometimes to know which way to go. We need the book. We need the words of those who've gone before us. God gave us a constant in the face of it all. I know that, He said, whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Scripture said, I am the Lord. I change not. He's got a cosmos in His world. You know, He's got His world set on a timer. I heard a brother describe it this way, and I've never forgotten it. It's like you have on your washing machine. You turn that timer on, and it starts running for a period of time. You can hear it clicking, and it just goes when the time comes. And it makes a certain sound, and that cycle changes. And things stop, and they weren't like they were before. And it goes a little farther, and the whole machine shuts off. God's got a timer set on this world. Nobody knows when it's going to come. That little incident in Japan is enough to show us that the whole thing could break apart anytime, for all I know. He promised it'd be destroyed by fire. I don't know when. I don't know if I'll be here. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that I've committed unto Him against that day. Thank You for the courtesy of Your attention this morning. Lord, help us to live so we can meet our Creator in peace, in spite of all the up and down that goes on in this world around us. When the time of war comes, don't let that fill your heart with hate. When you see God allowing hatred in the hearts of all around you, don't let that move you to hate. We are to love. If you live in a time of peace, don't let that lull you into being careless about the things of God. We need God just as much in the time of peace as we do in any other kind of time. If He puts us in a time of prosperity, don't ever say, mine own hand hath gotten me this. It is God that has allowed it. We've cooperated, but He's done it. If it all runs out between your fingers and goes away, humble yourself before the Lord. Didn't He tell us that He feeds the sparrows? Didn't He say Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one little lily that's growing out there in the water somewhere? He knows where we are, folks. He knows how to take care of us. He wants us to understand in all the seasons of life, so much more could be said. I regret the time to be able to deal with it more thoroughly. In all the seasons of life, adjust to them as wisely as you can, but hold on to something that's greater than the changing times. We have a Savior. He still cares for us, and He will. Isn't it funny how people change? Army of the Potomac during the Civil War. The height of the average soldier was 5 feet and 6 inches. A lot of them under 5 feet tall. They didn't have the nutrition that we do today. Their world's so different from ours. What will the next generation be? I can remember when nobody had ever heard of a cell phone, let alone an internet. What will the next generation have? Whatever it is, God will be the same. Amen. Thank You for Your attention.